Welcome to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Maureen shares her personal journey of her struggles with an eating disorder and how that changed her life. Listen as Maureen shares her pain, her stories, and her triumphs. Today, as a psychoanalyst, her mission is to help as many women as possible overcome their challenges. Now, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Hi, this is Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem, for Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. So there I was, in the Big Apple. I finally made it to New York City. I was a 24-year-old college graduate, ready to conquer the world. Oh yeah. There was just one problem, one giant can't avoid or even look the other way problem. I had an eating disorder, a terrible eating disorder. It ran my life in every way. Try as I wanted to think that I was in charge of me, my eating disorder reminded me every day that I was wrong. My eating disorder was in charge, and it decided how my day would be. And there was nothing that I could do to change that. Or at least that's what it wanted me to think. As if moving to New York City wasn't tough enough, I had this other giant albatross around my neck, dictating how my life would be. I hated it. I hated every second that I allowed it to take charge of me, and that was 24/7. So back then, my journaling continued on a pretty regular basis. It was my lifesaver and my best friend. I had so much to write about. Moving to New York City, starting a new job, finding an apartment, and making new friends. You'd think that these issues would be so exciting and important to me. And they all should have been at the top of my list. It was like a dream come true. Except, as you'll hear in a minute, all I could write about was this horrible, debilitating eating disorder that crippled my life. Let me take you back to September 1982. My journal entry went like this. I can't believe I'm finally here, New York City. Ever since I was 13 years old, I knew I wanted to leave Ohio and come to New York City. And now I'm here. So why does it feel so shitty? Why am I so miserable, scared, and anxious? TV makes New York City living so glamorous, like a dream come true. Yet I feel like it's a nightmare. Nothing feels right. I spent last night throwing up again. I binged and purged and binged and purged again and again. Why do I keep doing this? What makes me want to eat and eat where I can't stop eating and then throw up? It's disgusting. I hate myself. I think back to when I was in the hospital and how I told everyone about what was wrong with me. Nobody knew my secret. They all thought they were so smart and I was just plain depressed. But they didn't figure it out. That was almost 18 months ago. And where did that get me? That got me nowhere. It got me nothing. I'm still suffering. I'm still in pain. I feel so hopeless and miserable. I feel like shit. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I can't go on like this. It's enduring like a nightmare that never ends. Whether I'm in New York or Syracuse or Dallas, it doesn't seem to really matter. If I don't get better, my life isn't worth living. Wow. When I read that now, I can go back to that place in a heartbeat. A young girl in a new city, overwhelmed with life, and not sure of where to go to fix it. Can any of you relate to that? That feeling of hopelessness, feeling overwhelmed, not knowing where to go? I'm sure many of you can. So let me tell you my story of what happened next. How I finally broke the cycle and started down my long road to recovery. As you know, I studied journalism in college. I always dreamed that I would end up in New York working for a fashion magazine and writing stories about fashion. So, what really happened? I came to New York as a paralegal, working for a big law firm. What happened to all those magazines begging me to come work for them? That never happened. I was reduced to simply reading them and not working for them. But that actually turned out to be a very good thing. I remember it like it was yesterday, reading a story in Glamour magazine about eating disorders. Glamour magazine was one of my favorites. It was actually in print, in a magazine, the first time I can remember ever reading anything about eating disorders anywhere. I devoured that article. I read it at least 5 times just to make sure I didn't miss anything. It was there in black and white, eating disorders, a name to what I was dealing with, and a description of other people who sounded just like me. I felt like I wasn't alone for the first time. It's hard for you to understand what this meant to me back then. Unlike today, where there's information everywhere, just Googling eating disorders today reveals over 2 billion links. 2 billion! Remember, I couldn't find anything about eating disorders. It was a huge deal to have a national magazine mention it at all. I was elated, over the moon to know that I could actually read about what I was dealing with. And it just got better. There was actually a number to call for more information. I think I memorized that number. I read it so many times. So I called it, and it took me to an organization called the Center for Anorexia and Bulimia. Wow, that was a huge, huge step and progress. Maybe I could even speak with a real person about it. And when the phone was answered, I reached a woman named Ellen. Little did I know that way back in 1982, I would start a relationship with somebody that continues until this day. That on that fateful day, I would meet the woman who would change my life, give me a new career, and lead us to the point that you are listening to my podcast in 2022. She saved my life. 40 years later, I'm sitting here telling you the story, and it almost brings me to tears as I sit here now sharing this amazing moment of my life with you. I hope that my story gives you hope. Gives you hope to believe that you can find your way on this very, very long and winding journey, the journey to recover from an eating disorder. What I didn't realize is that my eating disorder was horrible, but it was my symptom. It was a symptom of the feelings, the emotions that I couldn't deal with, that were so painful and so overwhelming that I couldn't deal with them on my own. And after searching and searching, I finally found the help that I needed. So I hope you take away from this story, one of the things I hope you take away from this story is to not give up. Please don't give up in looking for help. You may find somebody that helps you and then you're ready to move on. I have found many people along the way. Begin to build your village of people who are there for you, who can support you and can help you. Stay tuned for my next episode where you can hear about my first meeting with Ellen and how this started many years of therapy for me, but was life-changing. Thank you for listening to My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Thank you for listening to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer Lang, the queen of self-esteem. We hope you enjoyed it. Please visit don'ttrustthemirror.com, where you'll find all our social networking links and can post your stories, comments, and questions. Until next time, remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.